Chapter 38. The Unreal Mandela. Of all the conspiracy theories swirling around South Africa, the one about the fake Nelson Mandela takes the cook sister. According to the people in tinfoil cuppies, the real Mandela died in prison in 1985 and was replaced by an imposter, Gibson Makanda, who went under British plastic surgeons' knives and learned to speak and walk like the real Mandela. The conspiracy theory circulates on social media often, gaining new adherents who add their own morsels of proof. I never heard Mandela say a single Xhosa word. He didn't know his relatives. His death in prison was reported in America in the 1980s. The reason Makanda replaced Mandela, the conspiracy goes, was so the apartheid government could install him as a puppet. It was Makanda who walked out of Victor Verster prison in 1990, negotiated or pretended to negotiate the end of apartheid with the National Party, and became the first black president in 1994. Because Makanda was an NP agent who was in the pocket of the Illuminati, the apartheid government kept hold of the strings of power, which is why the country is in such a mess today. In a column in Business Day, author Johnny Steinberg related another version of the fake Mandela conspiracy. Shortly after Mandela was freed in 1990, he returned to his Soweto home. With the late afternoon light fading, he spoke briefly in English before going inside and closing the door. By nightfall, it was said that the man who had come back from prison was not Nelson Mandela. Why did he choose to arrive in the dying light? And why did he avoid speaking Xhosa? In this version, Mandela was killed in the late 1960s, and the man pretending to be him was an actor called Motsamai, who had been trained on a secluded Anglo-American farm. The giveaway was his Xhosa, fluent but not that of a native speaker. The point of the story is that the central institutions of society are a sham, behind which a conspiracy looms, wrote Steinberg. Mandela never became president. White capital conducted the whole charade. The entire establishment is illegitimate and must go. Conspiracies usually start with a smidgen of truth that gathers momentum and snowballs. In his autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, Mandela said that when he went underground in the early 1960s, he used the nom de guerre David Motsamai, the name of one of his former clients. Early in 1962, he slipped out of the country without travel documents to attend a conference in Addis Ababa and to travel around Africa drumming up political and economic support for the ANC's newly launched Umkhonto we Sizwe. To ease his travels, he was issued with an Ethiopian passport in the name of David Motsamai. Someone must have seen a photo of this passport with Mandela's image and Motsamai's name, and a conspiracy was born. The proof offered by Gibson Makanda conspiracists is even flakier. They point to Mandela being 67 when he died in prison in 1985 as confirmation. Why is that proof? Well, because South Africans are encouraged to do 67 minutes of volunteer work to honour the real Mandela every year on 18th July, the real Mandela's birthday. Isn't it obvious? The 67-minute theory, reports a website called Savannah News, is according to confirmed reports on Facebook. Well, if it's confirmed on Facebook, it must be true. Savannah News also quotes a conspiracy theorist, Pumi Maps, who says Mandela's wife, Winnie Madikizela Mandela, knew about the plot and was forced to divorce the fake Mandela to protect his identity. Maps put two and two together when Madikizela Mandela said that when her husband went to jail, he was a burning man, but when he was released, he was a different man. A different man? Conspiracy bingo. And Maps points to the lyrics of Johnny Clegg's 1987 song Asimbonanga to provide further proof. Asimbonang uMandela Tina, we have not seen Mandela. However, the conspiracy's smoking gun is the photo editing application FaceApp, which shows people how they will look in the future. An image of Mandela before he went to prison, processed through FaceApp, produced an aged Mandela who looked nothing like the Mandela who walked out of prison and became president. Why have people cooked up this bizarre lie, and why do so many people believe it? In an article about the fake Mandela on the website Africa is a Country, editor William Shawkey explained that people who viewed Mandela as godlike, only to discover he was an inevitably flawed individual, preferred to invent a conspiracy than consider him a sellout. To assert that this individual was eliminated by the forces of evil betrays a stubborn longing to think he was still flawless. So where did Gibson Makanda come from? If you asked the world's best-known conspiracy theorist, David Icke, he'd probably tell you the fake Mandela was grown in a lab in Brazil. But it's possible that the fake Mandela story gained momentum or was concocted when a phenomenon that has come to be known as the Mandela effect received publicity. In 2009, paranormal researcher, cue the theme music from The X-Files, Fiona Broom, was convinced Mandela had died in prison in the 1980s. She remembered seeing news reports of his death and recalled coverage of the funeral and a speech by his widow, all of which was obviously not true. It's not strange that she misremembered Mandela's death. What is strange is her discovery that so many other people shared these same false memories. It's a collective misremembering. An example of the Mandela effect is Darth Vader's misquote in Star Wars, "Luke, I am your father." Actually, he says, "No, I am your father." In Casablanca, Ilse Lund doesn't say, "Play it again, Sam," but "Play it, Sam." Closer to home, anyone who followed Shabir Sheikh's fraud trial misremembers Durban High Court Judge Hilary Squires using the phrase "a generally corrupt relationship" to describe the dealings between Sheikh and Jacob Zuma. But Squires said no such thing and eventually wrote to the press explaining it was not possible for him to make any finding on the nature of the relationship between the two men since Zuma was not on trial. The Mandela effect puts a different spin on the truth. And to explain it, researchers coined the word confabulation, also known as the oxymoronic term honest lying, which is when people create false memories without intending to deceive anyone. Our memories are elastic, and our recollection of details is stretched, twisted, and distorted over time. We also create false memories from misinformation we read and hear, especially if the misinformation aligns with our own perspectives. And they get amplified, repeated, and retweeted until they become the truth. As Jack Nicholson's Colonel Nathan Jessup said in A Few Good Men, "You can't handle the confabulation." Crash Course in Conspiracies. There have been many conspiracy theories in South Africa, but three have gripped the nation, all involving crashes. The first was the death of Mozambique President Samora Machel, who was killed on 19th October 1986 when a Soviet crewed Tupolev 134A carrying his entourage back from a regional summit in Zambia crashed on a hillside in South Africa. Machel and 33 others were killed. South Africa blamed pilot error, but some blamed South Africans, claiming the plane had been led off course by a VOR, Very High Frequency Omnidirectional Range Station signal, a decoy beacon transmitting on the same frequency as Maputo Airport that led the plane astray. A Truth and Reconciliation Commission investigation raised several questions, but the only conclusion it reached was that the matter required further investigation. On 28 November 1987, 13 months after the Machel crash, the SAA Helderberg, a Boeing 747 with 159 people on board, crashed into the sea off Mauritius. Only one thing was certain: there was a fire on board the plane before it crashed. The official inquiry was unable to determine what started the fire, which led to a host of conspiracy theories. Forensic scientist David Klatzo investigated and said there was only one feasible scenario. The Helderberg was carrying rocket fuel for a flagging SA Air Force in apartheid's war in Angola. The rocket fuel caught fire, and everything that happened afterwards was a government conspiracy to conceal the truth. When the fire broke out, the pilot was ordered not to land for fear of the cargo being discovered. So, in the words of Klatzo, he followed orders and flew into the abyss. The TRC also looked at the Helderberg crash and concluded that further investigation is necessary before this matter can be laid to rest. The 2019 death of Gavin Watson, a former anti-apartheid activist turned corruption suspect, brought all the conspiracy theorists crawling out of the woodwork. Watson, the Bosasa boss, was being investigated for the bribery of senior former government ministers and ex-officials from the Department of Correctional Services. On 26 August 2019, a day before he was to testify before a tax evasion and money laundering state capture inquiry, he got into a company car, a Toyota Corolla, not his BMW X5, and set out for OR Tambo International Airport. All he had on him was 70 rand, his ID, and his driving license. He never made it to the airport. Instead, he smashed into a concrete pillar. Reports of his death sparked a conspiracy frenzy. Was the crash an accident, a suicide, or was Watson killed? And if so, by whom? Or maybe he faked his own death to escape justice and is sipping cocktails in the Cayman Islands.